WrestleTalkRadio.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio, boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake!
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
It was right here in this room my father taught me. He said, keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Spot.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hey, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Your internet slow. Did you disable cookies?
Omega.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest one of all?
Mace.
Why so serious?
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Did you know I'm utterly insane?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Have a nice day.
Yeah, baby.
Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. As always, I am the Omega, the be-all, end-all of our little network, and I'm just waiting for someone on this podcast to betray me. Is it going to be Mace?
I am a part of this complete balanced breakfast.
Oh, okay. Do you stay crunchy in milk?
I do indeed.
Hmm. Okay, you I can trust. So that just leaves the Canadian, Tim Stein.
Hey, we're all brothers here.
Sometimes that's not good enough anymore, Tim.
Except for Lindsay. She'd be a sister.
That would be an important one, yes.
And that would be good to call Lindsay a sister, not a brother, because that would just be gender confusion.
No, we save that for Kane Kittens on Saturday night.
Oh, is Kane Kittens genderly confused?
Probably not, but we make it out.
It doesn't matter if he is or not.
No.
There you go. Okay, there you are. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition. WTR Sunday Night, Russ Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks for joining us. We're going to talk wrestling tonight because, well, we're not paid to do that, but we got nothing better to do on a Sunday night. Or in Mace's case, Monday around mid-noon-ish, I think.
Correct.
Hey, look at that. Me getting the time kind of right, sort of. Impressive. Very impressive. So, diving right into it, straight off the bat.
Straight off the bat, once again, Tim's internet fails. Almost like clockwork this lately.
I know. It's a tradition now.
Yeah. Well, while we wait for him to return, how about we do something non-wrestling related? You excited for E3?
I really don't get excited for E3 anymore.
Not even Nintendo's, please understand.
We're crying out loud.
No, we don't want to hear. We were just filling in time by trying to discuss E3.
Oh, there you go. And I was, when I discovered that I wasn't on the air anymore, I was asking you what your win for this week was, Mace.
Well, my win for this week would happen to be a concept, even though the execution... and the follow through wasn't as great as well. The execution was brilliant. The follow through was a bit pain in the butt. The teaming of Bad News Barrett and Cesaro.
Ah, that was your win.
Yes, for some reason these guys look like they should be a tag team.
Interesting.
Do you have Bad News Barrett come up as a Paul Heyman guy?
Uh-huh.
I see tag team titles in the future. However, the way the match ended, with Cesaro walking out on Barrett, well, there goes that idea.
Yeah, that kind of would have thrown a bit of a monkey wrench into the works, I suppose, of that potentially happening, wouldn't it? Or would they be able to actually do something about it and still make Barrett a Paul Heyman guy?
They probably could, but you'd have to space it out now. Because you've already got the conflict between the two men, so... Or at least, you know, a short-term conflict between the two, so you'd have to, like, give it maybe a month, and then if you want to bring him in as a Paul Heyman guy, then, you know, I say go for it.
Okay.
It could only help, you know, Bad News Barrett, who's been getting over like a mother lately.
Well, they both have, really, to tell you the truth. But could they possibly make up and play nice with a, I don't know, a handshake?
Possibly. And, you know, at the same time, you know, you could then have the IC champion and in Paul Heyman's stable, and then you send Cesaro after the US belt. All of a sudden, Heyman's got two champions and two really good up-and-coming stars, plus, you know, the most dangerous man in the company right now in Brock Lesnar.
Mm-hmm. Well, at some point in time, Cesaro needs to have a belt, so why not give him the U.S. title within the next, I don't know, what kind of a timeline would you give him, 2-3 months?
I'd say tomorrow night, but, you know, that's just me. I hate Sheamus having the U.S. belt. It's stupid. It's pointless. At least give it to somebody who can use it to raise his profile a little bit more.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Omega, your win for the week.
Oh, geez. What was my win for the week? I think I'm going to go with Stephanie's promo from Raw.
Okay.
She, as a villain, she's come a long way from the Shrieking Harpy from the Attitude Era.
The Screaming Banshee, as it were.
Yeah, whichever one, yeah, whatever, whatever mythical creature you want to recall. Okay, yeah, we'll give it that.
There you go. Yeah, no, I have to admit, I was half occupied Monday trying to look for the handprint on her cheek. Can
they
you blame
a great
me?
Makeup. They have a great makeup department.
Yes, they must have. Yeah, I'm going to go with my win for the week. I'm going with the expected turning of one member of the Shield. Seth
you
Rollins.
Mean that one that we're planning on talking to at great length about tonight?
Uh-huh. That would be my win for the week. It's the biggest
thing.
The
reason why probably the other two people on this panel didn't pick it?
Yep.
Yeah, I was going to say, of course, that's the big one. Yeah. I was picking Stephanie's promo just because she got in a great shot at CM Punk.
Oh, no, it was that was great. Absolutely. But, you know, I let's face it, I have earned the nickname Captain Obvious for obvious reasons.
Captain so, Uncreative.
There you go. But, yeah, no, it was brilliantly done. And the second he picked up the chair, I just had some kind of the hair on the back of my neck stood up for some reason. And I stopped everything I was doing, stopped multitasking, and paid extremely close attention, and why don't I feel good about this? And then, boom, it happened. And the reaction, far and wide, all over the place. I mean, I've seen a couple of YouTube clips where people were taking video of other people watching this go down, and just, you know, the reactions and the looks on their faces was just absolutely, totally priceless. So that's my win for the week. Omega, what's your fail?
Let's go with the return of Consequences Creed on SmackDown.
Okay, that didn't work for you, did it?
Well, it's like they said, hey, we know you've got some very patriotic gear, so we don't have to pay for it. So can you just, like, come dancing out here like you used to do for TNA and get squashed by Rusev in 30 seconds?
There you go.
And Rusev now, because Rusev and Lana, the tag team of the only heat we have is cheap heat, now with a giant Russian flag over the...
There you go. Yeah, apparently Bridget Nielsen called WWE and she wants her gimmick back.
Really?
Of course, after screwing over Sylvester Stallone in real life, I think she's just, you know, pining for a job of any kind.
Bridget Nielsen. Oh, my God.
So, yeah. Mace, your fail.
Surprisingly enough, it would be the promo between Cena and Stephanie.
Wow.
Not so much for the what was actually said, as it was quite amusing. I loved the surgery jokes; they were hilarious.
Oh, apparently that was
rocked. it was a really good back and forth between all of them. But more the implication and possibilities that come from the way this was set up.
Mm-hmm.
This has me feeling that we've hit panic mode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brian's out. We don't know for how long. You know, he's getting worse. Shit. What do we do? We can't put the heels straight back into it, so Cena! come babysit the title for us. Yeah, plan B, C, D, E, F, G,
and G,
all the way through Z.
So, okay,
yeah, I made the little photo on Monday night that I put in our little chat. That was the scene from Simpsons where he presents the five choices.
Yeah,
and I just renamed them all. Cena gets the titles. That was all five of them.
Yes,
and that's what this felt like.
This whole thing that you've got for your fail, just it bothers me. Not that you're considering it a fail, but that you can only see them giving the title back to Cena to hold on to till Daniel Bryan can come back. This idea of them actually hanging the titles instead of a briefcase if Daniel Bryan can't wrestle, it's a great idea. I still think that they should do a Money in the Bank spot anyway.
Okay, you're already getting me wrong, Tim, as per fucking usual. I have nothing against the idea of, you know, putting the title up at Money in the Bank.
You know,
stick it up, hang it up, get people to climb ladders and kill each other over it. Fine. Got no problem with that. Gives us a good main event.
Yeah.
The problem is, put Cena in that match, you can almost guarantee he's going to win it.
Well, you see, I didn't get you wrong at all. You just figured I was going on a track and then you interrupted. The idea of putting Cena in there, just so he can babysit the title, that's what bothers me, is that you might be right, that they might actually be thinking that. And, if that's the case, if they do put the titles up there, they have the Money in the Bank style match, he grabs the title, why not hold an actual Money in the Bank match where somebody cashes in? As soon as he gets the title, it's over, they cash it in, he holds the title for 3 minutes, and then let somebody else cash in and take it. That's because the only way I can see to salvage your worry.
It would be a way to salvage it, but again, it comes down to the point of who do we get?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the one thing that, you know, a lot of people have just sort of glossed over, is take a look at the roster. Who do we get to take the title if it's not Cena?
Well, who can you give the title to, at least temporarily? I mean, who's in the Money in the Bank at this point in time right now?
Alberto Del Rio. That's it.
And that's pretty much it. And I don't see him.
By the way, that almost became my fail this week. The screwing over of Dolph Ziggler again. to put over Alberto Del Boringo.
Well, you know, that was not a bad match at all, really. Could have been better. But, yeah, the only crappy outcome was Alberto Del Rio winds up being in the Money in the Bank. But who else do you guys see winding up in a Money in the Bank style match?
Cesaro.
Bank. Yeah.
Yeah, Cesaro would be your sort of outside guy. You'll have Orton in there.
Yeah.
Quite possibly Triple H, because as Rock likes to say, the Triple H movement.
You know what? I'm really thinking that I should impose a moratorium on that phrase.
Yeah, but that never works to him, you know.
Yeah, it just totally awkward anyway.
You probably have Kane in there. Let's see, who's Van Damme. Actually, no, he'd be in the briefcase match, unfortunately. At the rate he's... That's the thing, like, this is the biggest problem with WWE right now, is that they are very lacking in main event faces.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's so hard, like, outside of Cena, I can't think of any faces on a main event level that they can put in there. It's going to be a high heel ratio match.
Yeah, almost out of necessity. I mean, I can see Barrett and Sheamus being put into it.
Maybe Sheamus, but not Barrett. Barrett would be the briefcase one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would work, wouldn't it? So. Yeah, okay, interesting fail. My fail was basically all of Raw.
Yeah, it was a pretty craptacular event this week.
Well, you know, I don't know, maybe we're getting spoiled again with some, over the past several months, some really, really, really good episodes of Raw, where more than one thing sticks out and more than one thing grabs you. The only thing that really grabbed me this week was, you know, the basic demolition of the Shield. That's it.
Yeah. I'll have more to say about that later on, sure.
Yeah, we're coming up to that pretty quick. So, everybody's got their wins in, everybody's got their fails in. We haven't heard from Rock. We should let him say something. If he wants.
He's the producer and probably can't be bothered.
Well, he typed in what his win was. We should let him elaborate on it.
No, he'll be doing that Thursday night on the rack.
Well, all right. I suppose we just
did, since it was last Thursday.
We can just move on and talk about Batista quitting. Yeah, who cares? That's my reaction.
Can I change my win? Batista left.
Yay! That's honorable mention all the way around. How's that?
Sure, why not? Is it like the whole thing of his leaving was hilarious. I loved the royal wave.
Yeah.
I thought that was extremely funny. The fact that it was cracking the shits over not getting what he wanted, which,
yeah,
if you go back to pretty much 1 year ago, or 4 years ago, rather, when he quit back in, I think it was, what, the 24th of May or something, it was over the same deal.
Yeah.
So it was pretty much a repeat.
Well, but, you know, this time he wasn't in a wheelchair screaming into a microphone.
No. No, he was just having a whinge at Triple H. But at the same time, like, this is only a temporary thing. You know, we all know that he's gone to promote Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I hope there's like some sort of clause in his contract or something that either side can take advantage of and get rid of him for good. Because let's face it, he hasn't drawn shit since his return. Like, his return drew numbers. After that, no. This was a failed experiment. Don't bring him back. Move on, please.
Yeah, it was a waste of time, really. I mean, who was clamoring for him to return? You know,
Triple H.
Yeah, I sure as hell wasn't among those people thinking he should have come back to begin with. But that whole segment, it almost, in hindsight, after the show's over, you kind of get the feeling that Triple H was trying, without saying anything, trying to allude to, well, you know, just wait till the end of the fucking show. I got something planned.
Yeah. I have a plan at the end of the show, by which time a lot of people were going, I really can't be fucked. Or maybe that's just me.
I don't know. They it's the classic fallback. Don't worry. There's a plan. There's always a plan. Yeah, sure there is. Your plan hasn't done shit so far, so I'm gone.
Yeah. Well, screw this. See you later. Bye-bye. Yeah. I really haven't got a problem.
Going off to pretend I'm an alien.
Yeah, Rock actually just mentioned something. You guys, if you got yourselves a fifth of anything handy, grab a shot glass and grab the bottle. And every time that my internet drops or Skype screws up on me, take a shot. I think we're going to have another one of those nights.
Funner. Well, how about this time we take a break and go listen to some commercials while Tim's internet decides to go and crap itself?
Well, here's the thing. The internet's working fine. Skype is screwing up on me. I don't know. Maybe it's the latest update. I can't tell you. Anyway, what I can tell you is that we're going to take a quick little time out here. We're going to be back right on the other side of this. We'll be talking about The Shield and more specifically Seth Rollins and Triple H. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Has a poison on its breath. This counterculture of both wicked lies and death. It makes my eyes bleed every time I turn around. How will they all feel when I bring them to the ground? And I said, I walk the miles inside this pit of danger.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moment... And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I, once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Every Thursday night, we bring to you The Rock.
These people yearn for enlightenment. Who do they have to turn to?
Who do they have to place upon a pedestal so that they may bask in the glow of their own essence? In short, the answer is no one.
We bring you a complete recap of Impact Wrestling, along with all of the latest news and unique discussions about the world of professional wrestling.
Sure, there are those who attempt to appeal to the unwashed masses, but they are nothing more than false prophets whom I will expose.
Join us Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, for The Wrap.
I am the bright beam of enlightenment that will serve as the avenging sword of taste and decency.
Redefining pro wrestling talk from the fans, for the fans, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're welcome!
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
The King, the King of Kings. On your knees, dog. All hail. Bow down to the king.
And welcome back to the show. We are here, Tim is not. Is that how you want me to do it, Rock? So yes, pretty much jumping straight into things because, frankly, we want to try and get as much of this done without Tim as possible. I believe there was this little thing that happened at the end of Raw on Monday night. Some people might have heard of it. So supposedly it destroyed Twitter, it destroyed Tumblr, made a lot of fangirls cry.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins, out of all people, turns on his Shield teammates and joins Evolution.
Ba-ba-bum.
Dun, dun, dun. So, what do we think of this, Omega?
Honestly?
Yeah. You can lie if you like, but...
He has, as opposed to the rampant bullshit I spew on the show. You know what? I never quite like these kind of turns where it's like they were beating the living fuck out of each other the night before, and then all of a sudden, oh wait, we've got an insider that caved your head in last night.
Yeah,
that's either a really quick turnaround time on betrayal, or you're willing to go to the hospital just to get this across. One or the other.
Yeah, that's true. So I didn't actually think about it in that context until you brought it up. It's like, that was a 24-hour turnaround. It's like, okay. So it probably would have made sense if Evolution won somehow last night by some dastardly means and then they could pull the insider card. Then Seth Rollins turns, and it makes sense. This way, it just seems stupid.
It's not the first time it's happened. I've seen that kind of betrayal happen often, especially among faction feuds like this. The one thing that saves it, At Payback, Rollins was the one that pinned Batista.
Hmm. Okay.
So it was, yeah, it was almost a prophetic thing, maybe.
Hey, kid, I'm quitting. Do you want my spot?
Here, you're going to need some blue gear.
Oh, that's been the best meme in quite a while, actually. They've made the recent Butchermania. It was awesome.
You don't like that. Honestly, the turn itself, I don't mind, because everyone was going, but what about, like, shouldn't Dean have been the one to turn? That seems like such the obvious, and, like, that's why it wasn't Dean.
Yeah, instead of going the
creepy little maniac he is, he would have been the one to turn.
Well, yeah, I'm glad it wasn't Dean.
But with this, though, like, overall, by the time it happened, I was very mad with the show. So at this point, I was literally, it was the Will Smith meme of, I ain't even mad. That was my reaction to it. It was like, I ain't even mad at this point. Yeah, okay, they just lost a member, they gained a member. Good for them. Don't care. But yeah, like, the way the turn happened, it's weird. Like, everybody was expecting Dean to turn. The thing that probably made me go, I ain't even mad, was the fact that it was Seth. Because he's the one that's going to have the legitimate gripe of the group. You know, you had Dean getting the spotlight when he had the US title. Roman's getting the spotlight now as being called, you know, the best member of the team and everything. You've got Seth Rollins who's sitting there in the shadows going, I was NXT champion, guys. You know, I was a big deal. You know, but at the same time, it also means that we're going to get the whole, I was in your shadows, now I am going to be the next face of the WWE.
You were the chosen one.
No, that was Drew McIntyre. And see,
every time I hear that anymore, I can't help but picture that that meme that I've seen where Vince McMahon is laughing his ass off along with, I think it was R-Truth. Have you seen this?
I probably have, but yeah.
And then anyway. I told Drew McIntyre he was the chosen one. And they're both laughing their ass off in the picture.
Yeah, we've probably seen it, Tim, yes.
Yeah, okay, probably.
But anyway, thoughts on Rollins turning?
You mean Seth going bye-bye from the Shield? Yeah, you know, it was something that was actually in the works over a month ago. Not to lift the curtain or anything like that, but Omega, you were saying that Ambrose would have been a little too obvious. I agree with you on that one. It was a smart move. Of course, talking with Rock earlier this week, and brought up a what if scenario. What if they play us like Daniel, or you know, what if Seth is playing Triple H like Daniel Bryan played Bray Wyatt?
What is this, a game of Cluedo?
You get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, betrayal within a betrayal within a betrayal.
Yeah, almost like a Game of Thrones episode. Second last show of the season coming up. But can you see that potentially happening, or is that a little too fanboyish?
Sounds like something that the Tumblr fangirls would write, but you know, at this point they're still crying into their Shield gear.
Yeah. Well, you know, right now, as far as things goes, if that were the case, it wouldn't surprise me. I don't expect it to happen, but I like the way I like the breakup. I like the idea. I think they could have done a little bit more than him just grabbing the chair and smacking Reigns in the back at, you know, quote-unquote, out of the blue. after, especially after going 3-0 the night before at the pay-per-view, right?
Yeah, this is sort of where it starts to irk me, though, is I don't like the idea of them breaking up. You know, the team is so hot and so over right now because of this feud with Evolution.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, why break them up when you have the hottest thing going, especially when, you know, your original main event scene has gone on the injury list and you need something to take up that spot.
Yeah.
The Shield were perfect. Now you've started the internal, you know, oh look, one guy's quit the team to jump over to the other side. Okay, so now we're going to get Dean and Roman getting their asses handed to them week after week after week now. Great.
Well,
I now have lost complete and utter interest.
Yeah, no, I see a lot of back and forth as far as that goes, each side getting one up. The way they've been doing it, and it's been, you know, it's been riveting people, for the, you know, the majority of people. One thing this will lead to is we're finally going to have Reigns squaring off against Bray Wyatt. You know that's
a why.
It's going to happen.
Why? Again, for the third time. Why?
Yeah.
Point, motherfucker. Is there one to it?
That's what, you know, that's just something we're going to have to watch to find out, because at this point in time, I have no answer for you on that one. Other than, I hope they can figure this out and explain to us what the point is, you know, and give us an actual reason for it. Other than just like, okay, well, we've done that, now let's do this. But as far as the Shield go, yeah, you know, they're on top. They're the pinnacle. What could possibly have been left for them to do? They've dominated WWE for a year. They were tag team title holders and the U.S. champion. They've basically beaten everybody that was had ever come up against them, right? To top it off, they go, like I said during the pay-per-view, a perfect 3-0 over Evolution. There's really nothing more you could do with them. As much as you want to keep them together and keep them dominant and kicking ass and everything, I mean, the whole storyline with Evolution, you know, it's been done twice.
Yeah, okay, so what's left to do? Let's do Stable Wars. Evolution versus Shield versus the Wyatts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's just have all three big three-man groups. You know, I'll play the card that Batista wasn't a whiny little bitch and then quit on Monday night. But, you know, why not go the three-way route?
Mm-hmm.
Why not give us that all out war between the three strongest stables in the company to see finally who is the most dominant.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, on that same track, would you create another faction or introduce another stable?
At this stage, you don't really need it.
Three is
enough. Yeah. Because then you end up doing, you know, WCW in the late 90s, early 2000s, where you had, you know, NWO, Black and White, NWO, Black and Red, the LWO, Raven's Flock, the Horsemen, you know, and it just became a gigantic clusterfuck.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, yeah, I suppose it's understandable. So, let's say Seth...
Kiss method, Tim. Kiss method.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Let's say Seth doesn't affect, but Batista still quits. Who takes his place in Evolution to become the third member?
Now you got me thinking.
Yeah, there you go. Because if you keep going the way you're talking, Mace, you have to have somebody to replace Batista.
You know what? As it would sound, I'd go Sheamus, given his recent heel turn.
No.
Is it a heel turn?
Sort of.
Depends frankly, on what he's doing. Depends on what day it is. So little, I haven't noticed.
Yeah, well, that'd be a way to sort of bring focus into it, too.
Yeah. Well, what about adding Barrett? That way you've already got, you know, you've got gold in immediately in
Barrett's already rising all on his own. I don't think he needs evolution.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah, he doesn't need the boost, no.
Well, it's not a case of getting a boost out of necessity. It's a case of possibly saying, look, he's established enough that he can hang with Triple H now. You know, like Randy Orton and Batista, they don't need the boost. Right?
No, but the thing with evolution, the thing with evolution, though, has been that it's the whole thing of you have the past, the present, and the future.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Originally in Incantation, you had Flair as the past, yep. Triple H as the present, mm-hmm. Batista and Orton as the future.
Yeah.
This Incantation. Triple H is the past, Randy Orton's the present, and Batista is the past present. Because he ain't no present. Future.
Yeah, the present past?
He's the present past, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
But now we've gone back to that three-point philosophy. Triple H is the past, Randy Orton's the present, Seth Rollins is the future.
Yeah.
Bringing in Sheamus instead of Rollins, you could still have that three-man dichotomy. Mm-hmm. You would still have Triple H and Orton in their spots, and Sheamus will become the future.
Mm-hmm.
Which, let's face it, they really have wanted to try and make Sheamus into a legitimate main event guy.
Mm.
You want a way to do it, this is a way to do it.
Well, given Sheamus the U.S. title, isn't that a couple of steps backwards from the main event?
To say the least. That's tying a boulder to the guy's ankle and telling him to jump off the fucking pier.
Yeah, this is the title that Zack Ryder idolized.
Yeah, you know, as far as the Intercontinental title and the U.S. Championship, right now, let's face it, all titles are props. If you believe current rumor and quote-unquote news story, Triple H wants to bring prominence back to all the titles and actually make them mean something again. And I know that you guys remember with fondness when the IC title was a stepping stone to the main event picture. If this is correct, you wouldn't need either Barrett nor Sheamus as the third member of Evolution if you were going to use both of those titles as stepping stones to World Heavyweight title shots in the main event picture.
You also got to remember at one point in Evolution you had the World Heavyweight title, the Intercontinental title, and the Tag Team titles.
Yep. I'll tell you one person I'd like to see join the faction if they hadn't have turned Seth. And you guys are going to like, no, but I still think it would have been awesome to see Cesaro as the new member of Evolution replacing Batista.
See, again, it's someone who doesn't need the push right now.
Here's the thing. I'll agree with you, Tim, on that if he wasn't with Heyman.
Yeah.
If he wasn't with Heyman, I could see it. But because he's with Heyman, no.
Yeah. No, you know, I don't disagree with you on that one. But, boy, I'll tell you, you know, and Omega, you're saying that he doesn't need the push. Again, just thinking of it, booking an overall show, which is, you know, what I do, because I've done it, I wouldn't be looking at it as giving him a push. Right? Again, there are two different ways you could handle it. You could handle it, give somebody that you think needs the push that spot to give them the leg up, or, in a case like a Cesaro, like I was saying earlier, it's a case of, well, you know what, this guy's good enough to hang with the big dog, which is totally, you know,
it'd be a notoriety increase.
Yes,
it'd be getting his face out there and putting him into a spotlight.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you don't do it permanently. You do it temporarily. You only let it last for a couple of months before, you know, he breaks off and does his own thing again. But you have it so he leaves Evolution on good terms, like they're on good terms. So he's out there, he's having a match. There's a problem, you know, out comes Randy Orton and does the RKO when the ref's distracted and runs back out again because he's doing a favor for a friend who used to be, you know, in the same, you know, the same gang. You know, something like that could work if you do it right. So.
Yeah. See, sorry, I just got sort of sidetracked. I'm currently just looking through things to watch wrestling related. Somebody put up something called Greatest Superstars of the 21st Century, Jeff Hardy. That was the most hilarious thing I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, Jeff Hardy might have deserved a place in that if he hadn't gone to TNA. If he hadn't gone, you know, absolutely psycho goofy with his addictions. If he hadn't have made a public ass of himself, if he hadn't have blown up his trailer home while cooking meth.
Yeah, but he did.
So but he did, so fuck him.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, yeah. Okay, greatest failures of the 21st century. Putting Jeff Hardy on the list of greatest wrestlers. Gives me a little chuckle.
Yeah, that's why I brought it up.
There you go. Yeah. So have we discussed this as in depth as we need to, or do you want to look even further and predict the future?
I'm sort of like, it's happened. Okay, let's get the whiny Seth bit out of the way, and then watch it all fall to crap. So for me, the future, I'm not really going to sit here and go, well, this is what's going to happen in the future. Because at this point, I'm looking at it and going, wow, this is going to play out pretty crap. Like to me, it's Seth gets whiny in his promo as to why he did it. Probably the whole, you know, I've been in the shadows deal, you know, it's my time to take a spotlight and shine, and these guys are the guys that are going to help me do it.
Yeah.
Eventually he's going to get his ass whooped, and then he's going to fall into mid-card and disappear.
Yeah. Well, you are notorious for admitting that you don't watch SmackDown, so I'm assuming that you didn't catch his promo on Friday Night SmackDown, saying that his reasons were his alone, and there's only one person who knows why, and that was him.
Which is a great holdover for, we haven't written it yet.
Yeah, pretty much. That's the, I'm stalling until the guys in creative actually get creative.
Yeah, we gotta figure out.
We're
exactly
stalling right until Monday night rolls around again when people are actually watching.
Yeah. So. But yeah, all I can say is, just watch and see. A lot of people were captivated by it and everybody is, you know, crying all over it. Or, because of it, so. We'll see how it develops, and I shall endeavor to enjoy everybody's reactions to it until that too starts to bore me. But Seth Rollins defecting was a bit of a twist. It was one that I personally think was a good one. It wasn't well done yet. It hasn't been well done. But the idea is, it's a good idea. Do you think that we've been seeing an increase in the last, say, I don't know, 6 months to a year of unexpected or even cliffhanger moments in WWE?
I wouldn't really say cliffhanger moments, but they've gotten better at going back to that older style of, you know, a pay-per-view will end and it's like watching the end of a movie. You start Raw the next night, they've got their little hooks and everything to get you to try and watch SmackDown. On SmackDown, they've got their little hooks and everything to try and get you to watch Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but it's not like, oh no, this has happened. Sorry guys, we've got to go. We've run out of time, like they used to do in the Attitude Era.
Yeah,
WCW were notorious for it during that time.
Exceedingly, yeah.
And that's what drew their fan base back every week was the fact
you'd have to watch Thunder to see the conclusion of Nitro.
or you have to tune into the next Nitro to see what's going to unfold next.
Yeah.
That type of storytelling is exactly what is needed in professional wrestling to get viewers back.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not really going that route. They're going the, why is Bray Wyatt not here? And then later in the show, Bray Wyatt will break his silence on SmackDown.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing that type of thing, which is basically going, please come and watch SmackDown.
Well, that's kind of like the ugly sister of the cliffhanger to get you to tune into the next program, right? Don't you think?
Pretty much. It's the cliffhanger done wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the beggar out on the street. You know, man, can you give me $2?
Yeah, well, you know, at the WCW's height, the one thing that pissed me off to the point where I'm cursing for 6 days because I had to wait 6 days for the next Nitro was, oh my God! Oh my God, we gotta go! What's gonna happen? Tune in next week to find out! Don't do that to me!
No, but that's the thing! That's what it's meant to do. It's meant to piss you off. It's meant to get you annoyed. Because then they're going to guarantee that you're coming back next week.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is what I'm saying. It was absolutely perfect. Do more of it. And, yeah, you're going to get more of a returning audience and fewer people saying, well, fuck this, and not bothering to come back the following week. Or to watch the B show. When you want them to tune into that and stuff like that. But, you know, unexpected moments. How many people expected Undertaker to lose, especially to Brock Lesnar, this year?
To be honest, I've been sitting there going, they need to do something with this. Either he retires or he loses soon.
Yeah.
To see it actually play out, yes, I was shocked, like everybody else.
Exactly.
But in that situation, it's getting to the point where you need a taker to turn around and go, look, I can't wrestle anymore.
Yeah.
I'm retiring, and you retire undefeated, or you had somebody break the streak.
Well, the guy's like my age. He's like 48, isn't he?
Yes, but Tim, you should realize that because the guy might be, you know, 48, his body is getting close to 70.
Yeah, I know that.
Wrestling is a gigantic wear on the body.
Yeah, no, I was about to point that out. I mean, everything I've gone through in my life, my body's like 50 years old. Everything that Undertaker has gone through in professional wrestling for 20 years, his body's like 80, like an 80-year-old's. You know, he's got to be really brittle and frail. The one thing about the streak, and I don't know, call me fanboy, call me whatever, it wouldn't be the first time. I still maintain that, you know, if we've seen the last of Undertaker in the ring, okay, fine. Why? The tradition is when you go out on your back. Fine. Why couldn't he be one of, you know, well, the streak be one of the exceptions to the rule? I mean, everybody throws that in my face, and then I've got a perfect counter argument. If you go out on your back, then why did Trish Stratus win the women's championship her last night as a professional wrestler?
Because it was done as a thank you.
Exactly. Why can't you do that? You know, Taker deserves a thank you to the company for everything he's done. Let him, let him keep the streak intact. He retires at 22-0, and Lesnar a little too rough for it to have happened properly. But if he was if he had wrestled almost anybody else that was not a friend but a good in the ring, I'm sure that they could have done something where he wins, but it's like a Pyrrhic victory where you burn down the village in order to save it. And the victory practically destroys him.
Eh, Believe me, there was nobody at the time who was a bigger proponent of, you know, letting the Undertaker streak go undefeated at WrestleMania than me. Mm-hmm. Fuck, I was screaming. I've been screaming it for as long as I've been a part of this fucking show.
Yes.
But, yeah.
Sometimes more quietly than others, but not much.
But yeah, but like going back to the whole point of the topic, which is the unexpected moments and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm a fan that they're trying to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. If it's one thing that a lot of people have said, it's that we know too much beforehand.
Yeah.
You know, the world of the internet has pulled back the curtain on professional wrestling so much that it is extremely hard to be surprised.
Exceedingly.
And the fact that the WWE is now doing things like changing scripts at last minute, making sure that they keep things between one or two people up until it happens, is great. It's bringing the whole, you know, secrecy back into it.
Yeah. Well, you know, they could take a big page out of Hollywood. Hollywood is notorious when they do a movie. They're absolutely notorious for having two separate shooting scripts. And this has been going on, not just in recent times, but, you know, as far back as the 50s and 60s and even, you know, right up through, modern day. I mean, look at The Empire Strikes Back. How many people knew on the set what Darth Vader was going to say to Luke Skywalker? Oh, by the way, spoiler alert, in case you haven't seen The Empire Strikes Back yet. I mean, what, are you just born or living in Arkansas? The only person who knew what Darth Vader was going to say, other than James Earl Jones, was Mark Hamill. Everybody else was told something different. Sir Alec Guinness was told he's going to say that Obi-Wan killed Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You know, you have multiple scripts and stuff like that, but you know, also take a look at how exceedingly easier it's become in this day and age to find a movie script as opposed to a raw script.
Yeah.
Okay.
How many movie scripts have leaked online before a movie has been released versus how many times have we seen a leaked raw script? I know of only one raw script that we have ever seen online, and that was the one that was leaked out, like, what was it, a month ago? 2 months ago?
It happens a few times more than that.
Yeah, there's been two in the last 3 months, but I've seen probably about half a dozen raw scripts.
Yeah. All told. Which is like a huge freaking difference. So, you know, Hollywood can learn a thing or two from WWE as far as secrecy goes. But at the same time, WWE could learn a couple of things about not even the whole script, just parts of it to throw people off. It'll work great with Undertaker.
Dot points. The thing with raw scripts, they are put out, like the promos are done big time. You know, all you need to do is take a look at a raw script.
Yeah,
and it'll be the same script that they've got going for production, the sound guy, the video editors, the guys at the desk, Vince. You know, they'll have them tacked up in the backstage area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only ones who really need to know a full script.
Yeah.
The guys involved, which you just tell them.
Yep.
And Vince.
Yep.
Because the worst thing that I ever have done is script commentary.
Yeah. Yeah, that's you know, I understand why they decided they thought they need to do it, as they've had some weaker personalities on the microphone in times past, and they will in the future. But at the same time, we've seen a lot of gimmicks get ruined because the wrestler was allowed to do his own promos, and then creative took over. John Cena's battle rat gimmick is a perfect example. When he came out and insulted everybody on the roster, and he was just freestyling. That was the most entertaining John Cena I've ever seen. And then as soon as creative said, okay, we're going to script it, he says, no, I'm not doing it no more then.
Yeah, look, the whole thing was with, like, the scripting and everything, they need to cut back. They need to, like, what they leave around.
Yeah.
And also the amount of people who know is too much. It's too high.
Yeah.
You know, the scripts get sent out. All of a sudden, you know, we get these friggin' insiders or whoever from the staff leaking them out to the wrestling sites.
Yep.
I reckon until the day of the show, Vince needs to keep the scripts under lock and key.
Mm-hmm.
And all he does, he puts one up backstage on the night so the people know who they're wrestling and who goes over. Like, it is literally, you know, Cena versus Bray, winner, Bray. 10 minutes. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, one of the things that
if he needs to, Vince goes backstage with his script to the production truck and says, "Here, read it."
Yeah.
You done reading? Good. Mine.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that we did here, certain individuals got a copy of exactly everything that was going to go down, how it was going to go down, and who it was going to go down with or through. And that was me, Divine, and that's the wrestler himself. And the wrestler himself only got that, you know, his or her part, not the entire thing. My music guy got an outline. He's fighting. He's coming out to do a promo. These two are coming out. He's first. He's second. This is the order in which you play music. The sound guy. My audio guy didn't even get the winners given to him, so he didn't know which music to play at the end of the match.
See, now that's probably it's a good way to do it. Like, I did sound myself.
Yep.
I would get the card for the night, and I would ask who's going over in this, who's going over in this, who's going over in this.
Yeah.
I would get a list of the two names. I would underline the winner. That's it.
Yeah. Well,
you know, if anybody doesn't run in, that's why I'm glad I used Winamp. I load up everybody's music. If somebody's doing a run in, because I could see behind the entrance, they're coming up and they signal, "I'm doing a run in."
Yeah.
That's fine. Cue up music. Go.
Yeah. If I wasn't running the music, the guy who was running the music was basically babysat by me because my seat on the stage was right beside the music guy, and I would tell him a minute before the match ended, cue up Kamikaze's music. And he's like, "Really?" You know, because it came as a pleasure.
Like, I know you're close to the music guy, but still, there is the chance of being overheard. Whereas the easier way is just go, "Okay, underline him, underline him, underline him, underline him. That's the winner."
Well, that's the nice thing about the way the setup was at the Legion. Nobody was anywhere near the stage. There's no way anybody could hear. And then the lip reading was totally out of the question because I was like over far enough that the entryway, the tunnel that I built actually covered me. It blocked me from the crowd when I wanted it to. I just had to lean over to my right a little bit. Nobody could see me. And it was perfect. But if it was any other situation, I would have had to make sure that the guy knew. It was just for what's his name. It was a nice thing to see, as you know, just give him a pleasant reaction right before the match was over, and then he finds out who wins. It lets him enjoy the match, you know, and that's pretty much one of the main reasons why I did it was so he could have, you know, because. You know, Mace, doing this, once you get into it as much as you have, and even as little as I've been into it for, once you've been, you know, like five shows, it gets hard to stay riveted and pay attention to what's going on, and easy for your sound guy to miss his cue if he knows absolutely everything that's down, because he's like, okay, well, I'm already bored because this has no, you know, it's like the reason why I hate spoilers for SmackDown. So.
Yeah. But anyway, to put a cap on all this, Omega!
Yeah.
I know you got a toy sale to promote and everything, but your thoughts and feelings on the unexpected moments and cliffhanger moments that have been popping up recently?
Honestly, I felt like there haven't been as many kind of cliffhanger moments as I'd like lately. Because I can remember, okay, Cesaro as a Paul Heyman guy. Okay, that's a big surprise. That was a good one. Paige suddenly winning the Divas Championship. That's a big surprise. That was a bad one. What other? I don't know. This one's kind of hard to articulate for me.
Okay. So do we want to go the route where we tie Eva Marie to the railroad track and see if she gets, you know, saved at last minute by the Mountie, or do we just take guesses on how many people are jumping on the train to help it go faster?
Can we have Zeb do the tying?
Yes. Sure, why not?
It's nightly whiplash. Huh?
That was the reference, Tim. Thank you
for playing along.
Obvious.
Well, again, take a shot because, yes, it dropped. So, you know, and like you're doing this nightly whiplash reference. I get it. Of course, you'd have to rename him. From Snidely.
Okay. He's still Zeb Coulter.
No. Zeb Lewis.
you don't need to rename him. He's still Zeb Coulter.
There you go.
He's just tying Divas to railroad tracks.
So, yeah, Omega, what's keeping you tuning into Monday Night Raw for the next week?
Indoctrination?
Yeah, you can... What?
I don't know. Sometimes when it's a particularly boring or bad Raw, I kind of wonder to myself, am I watching this just because I've been watching it for like 10 years straight?
Yeah.
It's just like, is this like just how my brain works? Okay, Monday night, USA Network.
So you're basically worried that you might be a creature of habit now in your old age.
It does enough to kind of... it does enough to keep me interested, but it's not, you know, it's not thrilling me in any way. You know, it's not jumping at me.
Yeah. Have you ever sat down there and Raw's over and you're like, well, that thoroughly freaking sucked. We might as well watch next Monday to see if they can get any worse.
There's some weeks you do have to enjoy it on a Schadenfreude level.
Well, I haven't had to worry about that so much recently as, you know, when we went through it in like 2008, 2009.
Okay.
Well, in 2008, 2009, there were some spectacularly bad shows. We bitched about it. It's in the archives.
Yeah, but that was back with that American-Canadian guy.
Yeah, American-Canadian guy.
It's American, I moved to Canada.
Not in 2008, 2009.
Still American, dating a Canadian. Either way.
Yeah, okay. I think it's about time we take our next break, isn't it?
Oh, thank God.
Thank God? Everybody, you're listening to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We got a lot more coming up. We're going to talk a little bit about Daniel Bryan. And, of course, we're doing actually quick picks for TNA Slammiversary, believe it or not. And we'll see if we do any better than Subway from CB Radio, midnight-ish, every Saturday night here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Show's not over yet. Don't go anywhere. That you never know. The evolution of online sports entertainment. WrestleTalk Radio is back.
Yes!
I know. The show hasn't gone anywhere. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying WrestleTalkRadio.com is back.
Yes!
Visit all the new historical WrestleTalkRadio.com to learn about the history of the show and hear shows from the past that you never thought you would ever hear again.
Yes!
Plus, you can now follow the show on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night.
What?
Like us on Facebook.
What?
Go to Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio.
Yes!
Once again, visit the all-new WrestleTalkRadio.com today.
Yes!
Will you stop that?
No!
Cut it out!
No!
I've got cookies.
Maybe.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
The first award was crowd participation. Your choices were Fandangoing, yes, Let's Go Cena, Cena Sucks, and What's Up? Sub, what's your pick?
I think I picked Cena Sucks.
No, you didn't.
What was it? You're great.
Great. I love these picks. Sub, you picked Yes.
Oh, yeah, Daniel Bryan, of course.
Yeah!
why did I hear that? You didn't say that.
Yes, I did.
Yes.
And that was the one that won. Got that right.
Holy shit.
But because you changed your pick...
No, I didn't hear the option of Daniel Bryan yet. The guy's magical. He's a magical little guy.
The LOL moment of the year. Your choices were the Great Khali and Jinder Mahal try to snake charm Santino's Cobra.
You know, when you say it like that, that sounds so wrong.
I know. So
I'm going to say I went with the first one where they try to tame the Cobra.
No, you didn't.
What did he say?
He said he picked the snake charmer. No.
Ah!
No.
Well, see, that's what I figured I would go with.
That's what Rob picked. You picked Titus O'Neil throwing up. You were wrong. It was the Rock concert.
Jesus, I was way off there.
Insult of the year, Sub.
Fuck, I have no idea what I went with. I'm going to go with the Big Show and Stephanie.
Congratulations, you picked the winning one. Today.
Can I trade in the ones when I like get a wrong problem? Do I trade two of them in for a win?
Diva of the year.
I'll go with the Funkadactyl chick. No, because I know it was AJ Lee. Do I want to win now?
Hold on.
Or do I stick to my guns?
So which one are you picking?
Funkadactyl.
Alright, so you picked AJ last week. You picked the Funkadactyls this week. Ace and Crispy picked AJ. That's all wrong. Rob picked the Bella Twins, and the Bella Twins won the award.
Suck it, bitches.
When you calculate everyone's pick, CB Radio and WTR picked. Subway, you were 500. You were 4-4. You did the best out of everybody.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Wait. Down. I think my head just exploded. I'm done.
I'm thinking something disconnected from my brain. I ain't taking calls. I came to kick ass tonight.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry. We've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moments... And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I, once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is third generation female superstar Natty Neidhart.
This is Harry Smith. This is Stampede J.T. DeWilson. Listen to the WTR Sunday night.
Yeah, baby.
Here she comes again, like good medicine. Every step she takes, my blood is flowing. Her legs go on. The remedy, just to hold her would be a cure for me. I can't keep going on this way.
I gotta get away, I gotta get away. She's at the top of her game, she don't know my name. The future's looking green, she's out of my league. Look out, hey. She'll tear your heart out. Look out, hey. She'll watch her woman go down. She'll calm me down when she won't do.
Welcome back to WrestleTalk Radio right here at WildTalkRadio.com. And once again, now Fearless Leader has fearlessly let Sky drop once again. Fearlessly.
If you're playing along at home, that's about 6 shots you need to take.
God damn it, you'll all be drunk by now.
We used to play this game...
There's nothing wrong with being drunk!
We used to play this game on CB Radio when someone's connection dropped out, usually Rob's. So now we're playing with Tim.
Because I'm like... I'm like Rob Jr. or something.
You're no one's junior at this point. Anyway.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome, Tim. Back to your show.
You're a creep.
Take a shot of anything, Kinkins.
What should Kinkins do? Normally. Take a goddamn shot anyway. Who cares?
Something. Anything.
Doesn't he live in, like, Phoenix, Arizona?
Anyway. Moving back to wrestling, Tim.
Back to talking wrestling. So, it was announced on Raw that if we talked about this earlier, if Daniel Bryan Southey's going to defend the championship against Kane in a stretcher match. But if he can't go, then Money in the Bank will turn into a match for the championship. We kind of touched on this already, reacted to this decision. I think we're in a general consensus, aren't we, that putting the title up instead of a briefcase is not such a bad idea. Problem is the entrance or potential entrance in the match.
That would be correct, Tim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But at the same time, I still hope that they do a Money in the Bank ladder match anyway. In addition to, like, if they have to go to this route.
there's, you know, reports are saying that Daniel Bryan is he's not recovering the way they were hoping he would. he might miss it completely. I don't know. How concerned should we be over this?
I think any time a top star is out for some, for anything involving their neck, there's concern to be had.
Yeah.
You know, especially with how it sounds, because in this case we have reports that he's not getting stronger. The recovery is going slower than expected.
Yeah.
Which, and this is new WWE where they are trying to be as cautious as possible when it comes to injury.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. But there was a thought that occurred to me in the middle of the week. And just thinking back, you know, we've talked about it ad infinitum, ad nauseum, about how hard it is for WWE to, excuse me, pull the wool over anybody's eyes anymore, you know, thanks to the internet and everything else like that. It got me thinking. They have been successful a few times in providing us with that wow factor, the shock, you know, the shocking moments, the swerve, if you will, not seeing that coming because of different reports or no reports being leaked out at all or anything like that. What are the chances that WWE is maybe trying to bluff us out a little bit here with Daniel Bryan's injury, and he's actually able to, he's actually doing all right, and he will be okay to go.
I'll be honest, like, as much as I'd like to see a healthy Daniel Bryan, I'm not liking what's waiting upon his return.
What, the stretcher match or another match with Kane or Paul?
Both.
Well,
stretcher match, another match with Kane, either way, it's a waste.
Well, the way I see it, and you and I know this, Mace, more than anybody else, when you got somebody who's able to go, but not as able to go as he should be, it's easier to protect him with a gimmick match than it is just a straight up one on one in the ring. The idea of if he's able to come back and they put him in a stretcher match, is that an indication of that's what they're trying to do?
Yes and no.
Well,
like, while you do have the added ability for more rest spots and everything with a gimmick match, you also have that increased sense of danger with a gimmick match.
Yeah.
So it's sort of one of those ones on the razor's edge, really, that it can be good, but it can also be very bad, very bad when it goes bad.
Yeah.
Look, but as for the misleading information, it's a possibility. It is it is indeed a possibility, because we have seen them try and work the dirt sheets a lot before.
Yeah.
But like when it comes to a neck injury, especially when neck surgery is involved, there is a variety of factors which could potentially go wrong. So for all intents and purposes, what's happened has probably done exactly what is being said.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, you know, the one thing that raises the flag or the specter of them trying to swerve us is the fact that Daniel Bryan's problem was a chronic one that finally needed to be addressed. He had a hyper-pinched nerve, is what it boils down to. The procedure was minimally invasive. Now, that being said, of course, just because it's a minimally invasive procedure, it was it was just a pinched nerve. The danger is thinking, well, it's just a pinched nerve. They can be very debilitating, really. And even if the procedure was minimally invasive, like a very minor little thing. That doesn't mean that 100 different things couldn't go wrong with it. And basically, you know, like with Stephanie McMahon coming out and giving the stipulations that she gave is probably, you know, just really good thinking when they don't have a proper backup as far as emergency planning goes.
Well, yeah, okay. I noticed you keep stressing the fact that it was minimally invasive.
Thanks for picking up on that.
But the problem with even minimally invasive surgery, mm-hmm. especially when you're dealing with the nerves in the neck
yep.
that are connected to every other part of the body,
mm-hmm.
even the smallest miscalculation can fuck something up.
Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is true. What are you guys hoping for? Are you hoping for some kind of quote-unquote miraculous recovery between now and then?
I'm hoping for a recovery, full stop.
Period. You know, yeah, if he can't...
It doesn't matter whether it's by the end of this month or 6 months down the line, as long as the guy's got a recovery.
So my question basically is, if he can't go, you're not going to be disappointed because you're more concerned about him than his character.
Correct.
Omega?
I'm busy, people. Go away.
What are you doing?
You've got things going on here.
You'll find out at the end of the show when we get around to plugging everything.
Okay, more editing, huh?
He's selling his ass on the side of the road at the moment, so...
Shut up!
Don't tell everybody! All right. Well, I'm hoping that they're swerving us. And I'm not hoping that they're swerving us because I want to see Daniel Bryan in a match. I'm hoping they're swerving us because that means he's not so bad off as we're being led to believe. And that's what I want. You know, I want him, you know, to be, you know, I want him to be all right. I don't want him to have to take forever to be all right.
Well, that's the general consensus there, Tim.
Yeah.
You'd rather have somebody better sooner than later, but...
Yeah, it just sucks when you have to go through 6 months of rehab rather than 6 weeks. Anybody who's had to rehab.
Yes, John Cena.
Yes. Nobody can be John Cena. Not even John Cena. I still say it's Smoke and Mirrors, and he's got a twin that we don't know about, like the Bellas, when they first debuted. But, maybe. Anyway, here's hoping that whatever the outcome is, that he gets back to full health and mobility as soon as possible. That being said, I think we should do some Slammiversary quick picks now. What do you think, guys?
Yes, let's do it. Yeah. Come on.
The answer is sure. Why not? Apparently, there's a TNA World Heavyweight title match. MVP will be taking on Eric Young. Who's it going to win this one?
I don't know. The way TNA is working, I expect Eric Young to be out with a neck injury soon.
Except there's no twins for Eric Young to marry on TNA.
They used to have twins. They were British. But they never got the job. Anyway.
Okay. Isn't Eric Young supposed to be, like, married to somebody?
ODB.
Well, yeah, there's your twins right there, right?
There you go.
So just for shits and giggles, I'll say Eric Young, Omega.
Yeah, just might as well go with Eric Young.
Okay, Mace.
I'm going to be the dissenter. I'm going to go MVP.
Oh, my goodness. Controversy in TNA. Next up, grudge match. Bully Ray versus Ethan. Oh, well, wait a second, Rock. Do you want to put in some picks here?
No, I just was laughing at the controversy part. That would be a first was my reaction. Anyway, move on.
Yes, well, at least you picked up on it, and thank you for doing so. Bully Ray versus Ethan Carter. Grudge match. Mace.
I'm going to go with Bully because, you know, who gives a shit about Ethan Carter III?
Yeah, I don't even know who Ethan Carter is.
Omega?
Yeah, Ethan.
Take a shot, everybody. Take a shot.
Jeez.
Marshall and Ross Von Erich versus To Be Announced. It's the debut of the Von Erich kids in TNA. Mace.
So who knows versus who knows. Awesome!
Well, they're in Dallas, so that's why they're bringing in the Von Erich kids.
Alright, well, I'm going to go with the other guys that are yet to be announced.
The yet to be announced team. Omega?
The people I don't know.
More specific.
The ones who aren't Von Erichs.
Alright, that's two for TBA, Tim.
Oh, I'll go TBA too. Oh, by the way, I was picking Bully Ray.
Alright, continue, Tim.
Samoa Joe versus Bobby Lashley, Omega.
Please let it be Joe.
Joe's gonna kill you. Mace?
Joe.
I'll say Samoa Joe, too. Next, Austin Aries taking on Kenny King, Omega.
Aries.
Okay, Mace?
I'm gonna go Kenny.
I'll say Austin Aries. And, of course, we've got Willow taking on Magnus. Mace.
The worst gimmick on the face of the planet.
One vote for Willow.
Bingo.
Omega.
The crackhead.
Two votes for Willow. The worst crackhead on the planet makes it unanimous. Mr. Anderson taking on James Storm. Now, this is one match on this entire card that I've read that I want to watch.
Yeah, I'm pretty much the same. It's like looking over this card, it's like, okay, who cares, who cares, who cares, who cares,
who
cares?
Who the fuck is that and who cares?
Yeah, who the fuck is that versus who gives a shit? Okay. Mr. Anderson versus James Storm. That looks actually interesting.
Now, this one is, I can't just arbitrarily pick one here, so I'll let you try, Mace.
I'll go with James.
Ooh. Omega.
James Storm.
Well, I'll be the lone dissenter and pick Mr. Anderson.
Anderson.
His name is Neo. We actually don't have a great debate this week, guys.
Sweet. Let's get out of here.
let's do some quick hits.
Get the fuck out.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Tim, is the Big Boss Man a Hall of Famer?
Oh, that's a tough one. That is a tough one. I'd have to go marginally yes. Considering some of the people that they've put into the Hall of Fame, Bossman has had a few more memorable nights than some. And, of course, he does deserve some kind of a tribute.
All right, Mace, is Mark Henry a Hall of Famer?
That's actually... I know they'll probably put him in regardless, but personally, I'd probably say no. he hasn't been, like, aside from being the world's strongest man, which is something that he deserves a Hall of Fame, Hall of Fame nomination for, but probably in, like, weightlifting, or, or something along that, like a strongman Hall of Fame, that's where Mark Henry belongs. In a wrestling Hall of Fame, no.
Omega, is Al Snow a Hall of Famer?
No. Ooh. I hate to say it because I love the guy, but outside of an extremely memorable gimmick and a stint on as the best host of Tough Enough, yeah, he really doesn't have much of a career to support a Hall of Fame.
All right,
but what about Head?
What about Raven?
Does Head belong in the Hall of Fame?
Damn right, in the prof section.
Do they have a prof section?
We will be bitching that night. Fucking hell, Head had such a long speech.
Head never shut up, man. JBL, we could hear JBL from the crowd telling them to wrap it up and go home.
And Head only talked about its mom twice.
Yeah, I could see somebody coming out of the back room and just giving Head that, you know, that look. And Head, you know, having to apologize for loving his mom so much.
Look, the Head's speech went on for so long, Moppy came out of retirement and had to cut Head off.
Came out of the wood chipper, put itself back together, and told, get the fuck off, Head.
Yeah, no Head for Moppy.
We gotta induct Pepe next.
No Head for Moppy.
That sidetracked. Yeah.
So, Tim, we have a question for you.
Oh, shit.
How do you go about lactating elderly Japanese men?
What?
You heard me.
My answer is I have no clue. I wouldn't even begin to know where to answer that fucking question.
Omega, you want to give him some tips?
It all starts on Kickstarter, Tim. We have a dream. It needs funding.
Support it now.
A dream on Kickstarter.
So you're funding something else rather than our island?
I was about to say, fuck, you know, if you guys are using Kickstarter, get money for a goddamn island, so you leave me alone.
Oh, you're in charge of getting us an island.
Yeah, you're in charge of fucking off.
Maze, what do you think the greatest invention of all time has been?
The greatest invention of all time.
Mm-hmm. And you're not allowed to say sliced bread.
Or Chris Jericho.
No, I was actually going to say the knife. Because thanks to the invention of the knife, we led to the invention of clothing, using animals' hides as clothes, taking meat off their bones so we could eat, and also slicing bread.
There you go. Omega, if...
And it was invented by Chris Jericho.
And it was invented by Chris Jericho. Omega, if evildoers invaded your country, would you rush to the battle lines to defend the motherland, or would you hide in a box?
Box.
Why?
I am a chicken shit.
Yeah, he's a chicken shit instead of a Wolverine.
Look, I have too much respect for my country to let anyone put faith in me to defend it.
Oh my god, now that alone qualifies you to run for political office. Holy Christ. Are we done yet?
Yes, that's the music's playing, so.
Oh my god, everybody, you've been listening to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Real Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Remember, people, very important to take notes. And I'm addressing certain people in particular in case you haven't figured it out. When there are no pay-per-views on, our normal start time is 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain. When there is a pay-per-view on, then it's 11 Eastern, 9 o'clock Mountain.
and the show is 2 hours, not one, 2 hours ish. Just so you know. That being said, tomorrow night, right after Raw, catch the Raw Post Show with Rock breaking it down into 45 minutes or so.
Yep.
Yep, and that's all we got to say about that. Don't forget the Rack Thursday nights with Lindsay Ward. Hey, she should have be. When is she moving?
Soon.
Soon. Okay. So, yeah, so she'll actually do a live show this Thursday.
We are live this Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern. Follow the show on Twitter at WTRTheRack and Facebook.com/WTRRack. Go back and listen to the two episodes of the Rack Extra that we put out this week. Season 2, Episode 10 and 11 reviews of Total Divas. Check it out, Rock Radio Show and WildTalkRadio.com.
There you go. And, of course, Saturday night's midnight-ish or as close as they can get to it, depending on whether or not certain individuals decide to show up and turn on their cell phones. It's another case of CB Radio taking the world by storm.
Go back eventually tomorrow and listen to the episode from last night where we played the first ever Mono Tunes. Check it out. It's CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual, sometimes with a part-time player and sometimes not. That's why he's a part-time player. And his quote was, "I set my alarm for at 11:30 to get all set up, and I woke up at 4 a.m. So, check it out, CB Radio, followed on Twitter at CB Radio WTR and Facebook.com/cigarette butts and bandanas.
When you set your alarm, it's a good idea to pay attention as to whether or not it's set for AM or PM.
That would be smart.
Yeah, I did that once, actually, not that long ago. Anyway, that being said, another edition of WTR Sunday Night happens next Sunday night. Guess what time, Rock?
What time, Tim?
11 o'clock Eastern. Do you know why?
Why?
TNA Slammiversary.
Oh, man, I can't wait.
I can.
That was feigned enthusiasm if ever I heard it.
Anyway, follow
that being said, everybody, you can follow me, yours truly, the one and only Tim Stein, on Twitter at GoNHLGo.
Follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio and Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork.
Can you say that any faster so people can't understand even what you said?
Yes, but I'm too tired to do the rest of that. Keep going, Tim.
So there. Mace is on Twitter, and you can follow him, but he'll never follow you back at the Mace thing.
Yes, indeed. Follow me on Twitter at the Mace thing. I'll actually follow you guys back. I just won't follow Tim because, you know, I don't like hockey.
I do more than just talk hockey, fucker.
He
don't care.
He puts out cooking tips and pictures of him cooking and ideas for cooking. So, cooking show with Tim Stein on Twitter.
I do more than that. Shut up.
I don't care.
I retweet funny shit from Gabriel Iglesias.
The so, fluffy. Follow Gabriel Iglesias.
Yeah, I already follow Gabriel Iglesias, so I don't need to follow Tim. But anyway.
That's it. Unfollow. Unfollow.
Good. Piss off. YouTube.com/WTR Games Garage. Coming this week, reaction videos to all five big E3 conferences, Xbox, EA, Ubisoft, PlayStation, and Nintendo. Hell, I might even try and rope Omega into talking Nintendo stuff with me, considering he owns a Wii U, one of about 13 people in the country. So that'll be going up on YouTube.
It's like the new Dreamcast. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's turned into like the hipster console.
Oh, pretty much.
Did you guys hear about this dude who's selling the world's largest video game collection?
Yes, we did, but it's too expensive for me to buy and for Omega to buy, so we're not going to bother with it. Also, if you want to go and play card games in the eastern suburbs of Victoria, down here in Australia, head over to Next Level Games at 164 Marinda Highway, Ringwood, Tuesday through Sunday, where you can play things like Card Fight Vanguard, Magic the Gathering, the X-Wing tabletop game, and so many more events going on weekly. Check them out on Facebook as well to get a full events list. Speaking of events, MarioMarathon.com is getting ready to celebrate its 7th year in doing a charity run for Child's Play Charity. You can head over there right now and see how many levels have been unlocked for your viewing pleasure. They will be kicking things off at 11 a.m. on the 20th of June. Once again, this is for charity, so go over there, throw them 5, 10, 15, 20 bucks, 150 bucks, whatever you feel like donating, because it all goes to a good cause, and when they actually start playing Mario games, they give away prizes and everything else as well. Final thing, when I start posting things back up on the website here at wildtalkradio.com, I'm going to be posting a little link that will take you to Loot Crate. If you like random nerd stuff being delivered to your door every month, feel free to click on the link, subscribe like I have, and you will get a nice little box of awesome every month. You can even get, I believe it's $3 off your starting subscription by using my link, and it also helps me save a couple bucks too.
Omega,
take just money.
Omega, take a shot.
Oh, my turn.
Yeah, you take a shot and go.
Yeah, drink your Pepsi and then plug.
Pepsi.
Quickly before the music runs out, let's go.
All my stuff is at tgomega.org. All my videos are at TG Omega on YouTube, TG Omega on Twitter, and TJ Reviews on Facebook. I'm all over the place.
Yeah, and he doesn't follow you back either.
No, he doesn't.
Isn't there a specialized sale that you might want to pimp?
Oh yeah, I'm selling shit. Go buy my shit.
That's it?
Yes.
Oh god, how boring of a plug is that?
10 seconds, Tim.
Get out of here, everybody. We'll catch you next week right after Slammiversary. Have a good week.
And don't follow Tim on Twitter, whatever you do.
Shut up. Follow me on Twitter. You might win something.
And then get it 6 months later.
12. WildTalkRadio.com.